I tell you, it's an emotional experience coming through the doors here at Northeast and just driving down the slope of the driveway. That I was here almost 20 years, and that was a nearly daily occurrence as I did that. And then walking in the door and seeing your faces and receiving the warm welcomes that I have, it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I wish Lenore could have been here to share it with me. She had some things going on at home that she had to tend to. But it's been a wonderful opportunity to share in fellowship with you all. Although a lot of y'all have gotten old. I don't know what happened there. You need to take care of yourselves a little better. I don't know, but it didn't happen to me, of course. But no, we're family, and we're thankful for that. And as I come through the doors, I'm expecting that welcome as a family. I've enjoyed hugging your necks. I've enjoyed looking around and seeing the memories that are here. I've enjoyed remembering that my children were baptized in that baptistry right there. Great experiences all. I remember the time we came back from Winterfest and there were five people that wanted to be baptized here and the baptistry heater was broken. They'll remember that one. Wonderful, wonderful times that I had with family in Jesus Christ. And again, that's what we are, as family. This morning, as we think about worship and as we frame our ideas about worship, I want us to have one word in mind, and that word is presence. It's something that in the Psalms that we'll be reading that we see David is very familiar with, the Psalm as he pens his Psalms, reminding us of the presence of God and how he dwells and lives among us. His idea was a little bit different, and we see that reflected in how he writes the Psalms and in what he does. In the Psalm we've just read, he talks about, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory." What an amazing experience it would have been in those days. Of course, in David's days, it was a tabernacle, and then later after Solomon, it would have been a temple. To enter the temple courts, and in their understanding of things, God was in the temple. He was in a place, right? They had to come there to approach him and to be in his presence. And with that understanding, it's really not something we can identify with, because through Jesus Christ, he's present everywhere at all the time. But before then, as they moved into that temple courts, they were literally drawing near to him in worship. And we can see the thrill that that was for David. As he was standing in the presence of God, when he says, "I have seen you in the sanctuary," we don't have anything recorded that shows us that David saw God with his physical eyes. And so we can only assume that he sees him with his spiritual eyes. Seeing God and knowing that he's there, feeling his power and feeling his love. Later on, Isaiah will speak of an experience of being in God's presence in Isaiah chapter 6, when he sees in the temple God and his train, his robe fills the whole temple and it's filled with smoke, and he sees the creatures flying around the throne of God saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It'll put us in mind of what happens later in the book of Revelation when John sees virtually the same thing. And when Isaiah sees that, he's struck by his own sinfulness. When he's before the presence of God, he says, "Woe is me, because I'm a man of sinful lips." We could be struck by our own sinfulness. I'm guessing that if we were aware of our sinfulness as Isaiah was, and if we had no sacrifice to atone for our sins, like Isaiah did, unless he had offered a physical or an animal sacrifice recently. If we had that, we didn't have that, we would be aware when we are in the presence of God of our own sinfulness as well. Of how we as unholy creatures compare very unfavorably to God who is high and holy and mighty. But that's not our situation today. The Hebrews writer will say, now we approach the throne of grace with confidence, right? Knowing that Jesus has taken our sins away, we can stand before God, not proud of our own behavior or proud of our own sinlessness, because surely we didn't do that on our own, but proud, but confident of the fact that Jesus came for us, that Jesus has taken that sin away so that we can stand and we can worship in God's presence. David speaks of God's unfailing love. When David stands in God's presence, he doesn't see his own sinfulness as much as he sees God's incredible, amazing, and all-powerful love. He knows that while he sinned, God loves him yet. And he'll say that over and over and over again. God's love. God's unfailing love. And in this passage, he says, God, your love is better than life itself. God's love is sustaining. It's upholding. It forgives sins. It encourages us to be better. And in all of that, it encourages us to worship. What we're asking everyone to do this morning is to be mindful. To be mindful of the fact that God is present here. He's in our midst. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus reminded his disciples and reminds us today, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I'm right in the middle. I'm right there with you. So folks, God is here. We don't have to go to a temple any longer. We don't have to stand before him worried that our sinfulness will cause us to be doomed in God's presence, because he's taken care of all of that. Like David, we can only feel his love, and we can be grateful. And I ask you this morning to bring that gratefulness, that thankfulness, that confidence into God's presence as we sing these songs of praise. I've challenged our worship leaders this morning that we are, as worship leaders, are seeking to lead people into God's presence. We need to be there first. We need to be mindful of that we are in God's presence and that we're worshiping and praising a high and holy and mighty God. And then drawing you into that presence as well. And we ask for your cooperation as we do that. And the cooperation is simply, sing from your heart. Let the words overtake you and overcome you. Surrender to them as you offer your praise and your worship to God. We're going to continue that time of worship right now. They were really little. I mean, they've really grown, but they're doing a fine job. So thankful for their participation and thankful for their involvement in our worship service this morning. I want us to reflect on that last psalm just a little bit, because I think what it gives us is a peek into David's personal walk with God. I think it shows us that it wasn't just the times he spent in the tabernacle that he was communicating and dwelling in God's presence. We see in the beginning of that chapter where he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. David was constantly seeking God's presence. I can't imagine how often he had to have sat down and written out these psalms. It wasn't just him who wrote the psalms. We know that they're a collection of these writings, these poems of some of Israel's leaders, and even some who weren't Israelites. But we know David wrote a lot of them, and we also know that we probably don't have all of them that he wrote. They probably weren't all preserved in the Psalms. And so as he sat down to write the poems that he wrote that would later be set to music and would be used in Israel's worship, he was writing Israel's hymnal for them to sing praises to God from. And so these were more than just expressions of his own praise. They were expressions that he was looking forward to the children of Israel using as they lifted up God in praise and in song. And so I think we can safely assume that these psalms flowed from David's personal walk with God. That as he rose in the morning, he would write at some time. And then when the sun would set, and during the watches of the night, all of those mentioned in the psalms as times that he would spend in communication with God, meditating upon God's word, listening to what God had to say to him as he led God's people, Israel. And they flow then, the words that come to him flow into these psalms that we now use as complete inspiration for what it looks like to glorify and honor God when we come together and sing. Many of our hymns and songs that we sing are words of the psalms that have been set to music. And they instruct us how to worship God and how to exalt and glorify his name, as we've been doing this morning. And doing so, like we've talked about, in his presence. You know, some of the time when I come and when I come to church, and I'm the preacher, so you'd think it wouldn't be this way, but I'm guessing those of you who have done this have experienced it, where you get to church. Maybe Noah, you've done this, and Grady, I'm guessing. You get to church and you've got a long list of things you got to do, right? You've got to teach a class, maybe. You've got to talk to this person and talk to that person. You got to make sure you're on the same page with the people in the sound booth. There's a lot of things on the list that you've got to do. And if you're like me, you struggle before you come to church thinking about all those things. What do I have to do? And it's really easy to get distracted away from what we're really doing here, away from what we're trying to lead people into, and that is into a time in God's presence, a time with God where we're worshiping his name together. And I'll tell you, one of the ways that's helped me to stay focused on Sunday morning, even when it's a very busy time, particularly for preachers, and that is to spend time with God all during the week. To be sure that Sunday morning isn't the only time that I'm spending with him and in his presence and seeking his presence. To make sure that my life, as I try to teach others to do, is filled with times, daily times, where I'm taking in the words of Scripture, where I'm sitting in a time that's just quiet and listening for God to speak through whatever manner he chooses, where I'm lifting his name up in praise in my thoughts and with my voice, and where I'm praying, asking questions, and listening for him, just asking him to be present with me. And I got to tell you, there are times when I've not done that very well during the week, and I come to church and realize how unprepared I am to be in his presence now, and how unfair it is to the people that I'm working with when I come to church unprepared, when I come to church without having spent time through the week in God's high and holy presence, when I'm unable to be led into his presence because of the jumble of things that are going on in my mind, and I need to focus. A lot of times we look at worship as something that we do at church. A lot of times our worship experience, or we think of our worship experience as being led by the people who are up front. And if we like what they do, we like the songs that are said, we agree with the message, we like how it's presented, then we have a good worship experience. And if we don't, then we have what one lady in this very building said as she was leaving: I just didn't get anything out of worship today. I've heard those words. You probably have too. But I want to encourage us to think in terms of worship not being something that's done to you, but something that's done by you. You see the difference there? It's not something that's done to you. God's presence isn't a switch that we flip on and off on a Sunday morning. We come in, we get in his presence, okay, everything's great, and then we go and we leave it here. God's not in the temple anymore. God has left the building. And he wants to be with each of us every day that we live our lives. He longs for that time that we spend with him in private worship and in private times, in quiet times that we spend with God. So I want to encourage you, let this psalm marinate in our hearts, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I want to encourage you to be doing that through the week, for you to expect that your worship experience will be at its best, that you'll feel the presence of God the most strong when you've spent time during the week in his presence as well. And if you don't have that time built into your week, I encourage you to do it. The way you started is just pick a time when during your day, if it means you have to get up a few minutes earlier or go to bed a few minutes later or take a time during your lunch break, whatever it is, take a few minutes. Take 10 minutes. Read a short scripture, say a prayer, and call that your quiet time. And I guarantee you that when you start doing that, what will happen is you'll start to feel 10 minutes isn't nearly enough. And you'll begin to expand that, and you'll work it out. You may, like I have, decide you need to get up even a little earlier to be able to get that time in and to spend that time with God each day. And then bring that into worship. Don't lean on people up front. You bring it. You bring God's presence into this house. And then watch what happens as you lift his name, as you taste and see and realize that the Lord indeed is very good. We're going to continue our time in worship now. As we come to the final psalm that we'll look at this morning, David in this psalm shows us his enthusiasm for worship. Again, it hearkens us back to what it must have looked like in the days of the tabernacle. As he entered through the gates into the tabernacle area and entered into the courtyard of the tabernacle where most of the praise was done, where the congregation of Israel would have gathered in God's presence in the tabernacle to praise and lift up and worship him. As they entered those gates then, as he says, they were doing it with anticipation. Anticipation of being in God's presence. And he says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. As we enter the presence of God, we lift his name up and praise him for all things, everything that he's done. I liken it to a child coming home after a long time away and coming into the home of a father and mother who love them very much. Where they're excited to, they've been away, they've done some fun things, but they're really excited to be home. I remember what that was like when I went to Harding at college, and my parents lived in the Columbus, Ohio area. And it was a long drive back, 14 hours back in the day, to get from Searcy, Arkansas to Columbus, Ohio. And very often we wouldn't start until sometime in the afternoon. And so you can imagine how good that house is. We came over the hill and could see that house sitting there on the hill. How good it was to come home. And I remember as we came in the doors, it was in the middle of the night, but my mom and dad never failed to get up. And you all know what I'm talking about. If you've had kids come home from college, you know, or come home after a long time away. And man, it gets even better when they come with grandkids, right? Isn't that cool when they come in the house and they've got their kids with them? What a fantastic time that is. But they come in with the expectation. They come in the door knowing that they're coming to family. I don't want to liken the doors of the church building to the doors of the temple. It's a different experience. It's a different thing altogether. But in the church building, as we come together as family. And if you don't realize it or recognize it, I know you get to be with each other all the time, but think of someone in my position who hasn't been here for a very long time and who comes back and is able to see family. What a precious, precious time that is. I think this psalm invites us that as we come together to enter his presence and we come together as family, that we come in the presence of a loving Father, of a Father who has given us unselfishly of everything that he has, who has freed us from our sin and given us permission to walk before him, to live our lives before him as lives of praise. As we live our lives to honor and glorify and praise him each and every day, but as we come together in a corporate kind of way, we praise him in a very special way together. We lift him up and we honor him and we glorify him. Listen, if you've come this morning to worship here at Northeast and you were looking forward to seeing friends, maybe you're looking forward to sitting in on one of the many classes that you have, looking forward to teaching a class, sharing some time with other people, those are all good things, and I'm glad you did. And I hope you've enjoyed this time of fellowship. But I also hope that you've enjoyed being in the presence of God. Because I believe that surpasses everything. That being together in his presence is what David looked forward to as he penned this psalm. Entering his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Entering his courts with praise. I think entering his courts with praise and entering the court expected to be in his presence elevates what worship is for us. It calls us to a higher place. It's a higher calling as we realize we're not just here to be together. We can do that a lot of times, but we're here to be together and to praise the God who created us, the God who sent us his Son, Jesus Christ, to give himself so that we could be recognized as sinless, even though we're far from it. and that we could stand before him with confidence and lift him up and praise him as our God and Father. We've got a song that we're going to sing right now. If you guys want to come on up. Will, I'm just going to use the podium mic this time. That talks about calling, a higher calling. It talks about lifting our expectations. It talks about being willing to surrender ourselves, to lay ourselves down, and recognize what God is calling us to do. Let's sing, Called Me Higher.